Welcome to another episode of Autosave. I'm Nick Andrade here with my co-host Camille Salazar Hadaway. And on today's episode, of course, we are continuing our journey into Guardians of the Galaxy. And today, Cam, I have another question for you that I'm starting this new pattern and I'm really liking. And the question is, if you had a name like Star-Lord in space, what would it be? And I'll give you mine first to give you some time to think about it. Mine would be Goldust, which is a complete ripoff of the wrestler Goldust.
I was just about to say, like, I'm pretty sure that's copyrighted. I don't think, like, would your
Listen,
face be gold?
I would look exactly like Goldust. I would do the thing that he does where okay. He goes, where he breathes in.
Goldust.
I would do that. And I would not get in trouble because I'm in space. So Vince McMahon and WWE can't sue me.
Is that how it works? No, they don't have jurisdiction in space? Or is it just there in our planetary, in our solar system? How does this
work? I think, yes, the minute you go out of our solar system and go to like the Andromeda system, copyrights completely cease to exist. So, yeah.
I don't think Goldust is a good name. I'm just going to put it out there.
You know what? You've been criticizing my answers every week so far. I'm not enjoying this.
I'm going to say this is a hard one. I never thought about this. Like, what would my space name be? I'm going to say Sailor Space just because a ripoff of Sailor Moon. I always wanted to be a Sailor Scout as a kid. And I love space. There we go.
No.
Better than Goldust.
You know what?
Definitely.
You criticized me for Goldust. And you, what you came up with was Sailor Space.
I mean, it really encapsulates like a childhood dream here and everything that's out there in the unknown. What's gold dust in space? What is gold dust in space?
There could be gold in the dust
but
of
you
space.
You don't know. You don't know.
Well, I mean, Sailor Space is pretty broad because, you know, each sailor is a planet. Maybe you should be like one of those
but
planets
see,
they just discovered.
But see, I'm the overarching Sailor Scout. You know, they thought Sailor Moon was it. Nah, I'm Sailor Space. I got this. I'm the leader.
All right. That's I'll give you that, but the next time you criticize Goldust, I'm going to bring up Sailor Space every time.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
On last week's episode,
Guardians of the Galaxy. You misread our intentions.
No, you've made them pretty clear.
Sometimes sacrifices must
I had to check.
Groot, write the stars.
Grand Unifier, Breaker, right? First, let me just say it's really cool that you've heard of us, right, guys? And it's cool that you didn't try to kill us just then, especially with your two pals right there. You could have totally ripped us apart the moment you walked in, which we obviously all appreciate. But also, we've kind of got a few questions, like,
where are Centurion Corel and her daughter? You came here seeking truth. Rejoice. The Matriarch wishes to share it with you.
Wow. So Riker is 100% the bad guy.
And 100% Goldust. You know, he could also be called Goldust. I'm just putting it out there. Confusion in the name.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He has that gold strip.
Oh, he does. He does. You know what? He could be Goldust. Yeah. All right.
He could.
I understand. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. See, now we're getting more friendly here in this episode. It's getting better. Thank you for reaching your hand out.
We did a virtual handshake, by the way.
last week's episode, as Raker just said, we're looking for Corel and her daughter. We're not really sure where she is. We did go to nowhere. We fought the Blood Brothers. We met up with Space Dog Cosmo. We went back to Hala's Hope, which I have to say, we've now been to Hala's Hope 3 times.
Oh, yeah. You don't like going back to places you've already been in video games.
Oh, you remember that. Okay. All right. Well, yes, that's true. But We go there. We find out some more information, like a big one. That is, Peter Quill has a daughter, and that daughter is Nikki. Potentially. We don't know for sure, but we're pretty sure. The dates line up. Carell and Quill did the nasty together 12 years ago. Nikki was created, and so on.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence. We're just waiting on the Maury Povich episode to come out to confirm it.
We are, and that's where it leads us to in the next episode and the next chapters. You Are Not the Father? No, that's not the title of the episode. Chapter 8, The Matriarch, and Chapter 9, Desperate Times. Cam, our theme today is acceptance of your reality. And I must warn the viewers, the next few episodes are going to get very real and very existential. Just like Camille posted something on Instagram that had to do with space and whatever. It was just very existential. And for me, yeah. For me, as a very existential person who thinks about it a lot, it was not a good thing to open on a Monday morning.
Sorry.
Because then I just started thinking about things.
Start the week off right with a crisis, existential crisis. That's how I like to start it.
Me too. But acceptance of your reality in terms of maybe there's something going on that you can't fully accept. And at some point you have to, in order to grow as a person, or I guess that's the best way to put it. I did think of examples, and it seemed like a lot of them, Cam, were Pixar movies.
Well, they do bring on the tears, so it makes sense. Usually, like, I feel like when you're accepting your reality, you know, this theme, it's a very emotional journey, like you preface for these next few chapters.
Yes.
So Pixar, immediately trying to go for, you know, the tears when their viewers watch. So it makes sense.
And I think I've cried at so many Pixar movies. But in general, whenever there's some family dynamic in a movie that has some sort of...
You cry?
I've turned like maybe like I would say like 28 and on, movies have been more emotional for me. I don't know if that's because I'm getting older.
Okay. Sit in the red chair. Let me explain this logic to you. I was about to say, like, yes, Pixar movies. I know you have like Toy Story 3 here. I would even say the first Toy Story for Buzz. It was a less emotional journey, realization that he's a toy. You know, so that's it for me. But I think we all kind of go through that when we are maybe entering our mid-20s to our late-20s. We realize that our journey so far in life has led us to a certain point, and there is something that we have to accept about that.
Yeah.
We also have to accept the reality sometimes of our parents just most of the time having our best interest, which is always hard. I feel like there's always an acceptance of a reality throughout, you know, just individuals, like people or us, like as we grow and as we age, there's more things that we have to accept. And sometimes it could be very emotional. So I think that's why when you're watching Pixar movies or like anything with families, it's like the trigger. It mirrors what we're going through in our everyday.
Spoiler for this. At some point during this saga, I will cry. I'll let you know when it is. But I will only let you know that so far. But I think that's a great point to end off of, Cam. That's a really insightful kind of message, I think. And that's what we're going to be experiencing through this episode and maybe the next few. I don't know. These themes in this game are pretty, pretty big. But before we get into the gameplay, we want to mention that we are on Patreon. That's patreon.com/autosavepod. Join today if you'd like to support the show. We do monthly episodes where we talk about the news and what's going on, what I hate, because I like to bring up lots of things that I hate that I might can't in these episodes. And Camille also brings her super insight into the gaming industry. So join us if you'd like to support the show. After the break, we dive into whoever the matriarch is on AutoSave.
I'm going for the drone. Keep him talking.
What now?
What? What is it?
It's just, You discovered stuff, and you claim to, control energy?
Faith energy?
Right. Well, it just seems like all this faith energy is really, really powerful, and
I think what Gamora's point is you say you have all of this energy.
Faith energy.
Right, but when we first saw you, weren't you stranded on Hallis Hope because your shuttle ran out of juice?
Yes, I was, but...
So why didn't you just believe that your ship had more gas?
It doesn't work that way.
So, you were saying...
Wait. Weren't there more of you?
What? No.
Nope.
It seems like the kind of thing that we would be aware of.
Indeed.
Please continue your fascinating account of, you know...
You were saying something about her? It seemed super important.
The matriarch, I guess?
That is not what I was talking about.
Are you sure? It seemed like the matriarch was a thing at some point.
She is the second divine vessel. I was talking about the first. The one who refused to reverse the death of my son. Wait, there were more of you. The little one is missing.
Perhaps he died like your son.
You think you're all very clever.
Don't know what you're talking about.
You hope to delay me because you're afraid. There is nothing to fear. Why are you... Get back here where I can see you.
Yeah.
It's time.
You know it's time to meet the matriarch, but we learn a few things here, Cam. Riker taking us through the Sancrosanct, which is their ship, taking us to the matriarch. But he mentions a few things while we try to stall him. One of them is that there used to be another divine, but he's dead. And Riker's motivations is to bring back his dead son. So clearly here we have a bad guy with a reason as to what he's doing. He wants to bring back his dead son.
I hate when they do that because I feel like I'm going to have an emotional moment with Riker and I'm not going to like it. I just want the bad guy to be bad.
Yeah. There is one point where we're trying to distract from Rocket. He's basically tampering with this drone. I don't know if you decided to do that as well. You did?
Yeah, so I distracted. So when you hear Gamora fumbling to, like, distract, I just questioned Riker about, like, you have the option how to question Riker, and I chose the wrong one. I chose to ask him about them, and then Riker says, like, I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about he, and then turns around and is kind of like, finds Rocket. Okay. So then I was like, oh, dang it. And then ever since you leave that point, Rocket just kind of gets on your case for not distracting Riker properly.
I distracted him long enough to a point where Quill faked a heart attack at one point. And then also when Riker asks where the other team member is, Drax has probably the best line of the entire game. And he says, maybe he died like your son. And he says it's so straight face.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh, incredible. But I actually get him to distract fully. And it doesn't really have a huge bearing into the game. There's something that comes later that it'll help with. But apparently you can also do it anyway. I think you have no problem with it at all. And that leads us to the matriarch. And we get to see the matriarch. And I have to say again, and I've said this on the show before, when things look like certain things, but the matriarch comes out of a giant butthole.
Come on.
Do you remember butthole. This?
No, I would say more like a belly button, not a butthole.
It looks like an anus.
No, because...
It's a giant anus.
Nick, you go
You
ahead.
Can't just... Listen, look, it's a giant red thing, okay? And then there's a...
Yeah, it's like a robe.
A tiny hole in the middle.
And that it's unfolds to... And the matriarch, like, raises from there as, like, lint falls from your belly button sometimes. Like that. Not like other things that come out the other side, Nick.
So I have the PG-13 thought. You have the PG thought. I think more that it's
is yours even PG-13? I feel like it's like not. Can we even?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good with these ratings.
A butthole. I'm not saying something else. And I'm just saying it looks like the matriarch is coming out and it is like a poop that is coming out of an anus.
A slow one, though. It's not like
yes,
explosive.
A slow drawing one. So it's the one of the ones where you have to kind of like push it out. Anyway, not to distract from this incredible reveal
of
this, but we do find out through the butthole who the matriarch is.
Requested the guardians of the galaxy.
Thank you, Grand Unifier. Guardians, you may approach.
Peter Quill, order your offspring to come down from there this instant.
Maybe I'm out of line, but aren't you a little young for a dress that short?
Aren't you a little old to write your name on your clothes? Took you long enough.
Yeah, well, you know, chatty grandpa gets.
Hey, we're gonna get you out of here. Just follow my lead.
But this is where we're supposed to be. We're gonna save everybody. I'm gonna save them, I promised.
Come on, snap out of it, kid. You're just saying what he wants you to say.
Well, there you go. Nikki is the matriarch in a bit of a shock. I really didn't expect that, did you?
I did not see this coming at all. And I was pleasantly surprised by this reveal because I didn't see it coming. A lot of the times you could understand, especially in superhero games, you kind of know where they're going with the story. I had no idea about this one, but her eyes are all glowy. So I don't think it's like her. It's more like she's possessed by someone at this point. You know, you get that feeling.
Right. And she says like Corel is inside her, but it pretty much seems like Corel is
crazy.
Dead. I mean, we saw the monster from before. And she does have the soul stone. So I'm guessing, like you said, she has to be possessed in some sort of way.
Yeah, like corrupted or something like that, right?
Whether it is from the soul stone or Riker, because I feel like Riker as well is probably brainwashing her.
I don't trust him. And even though it seems like Riker is the one praising the matriarch, you get this feeling that there's a puppet master behind. So I'm expecting, although I do think Riker's pulling the strings, maybe he's also corrupted by like this false promise because he wants his son back.
Okay.
But there's a lot of question marks that are in the air, and this is making me really excited to go through the game.
I think that's why I was confused, because Riker seems like the bad guy, and then we see the matriarch who he is like putting on a pedestal. So what does this whole thing mean? Like, is she a sacrifice? Could she be a sacrifice? Ooh. Is there another plan for what Riker wants to do with her? That's why I'm thinking like she's being used in whatever capacity that it is. Again, like you have a good point. Maybe Riker is not the prime enemy in this game.
Yeah.
We'll find out. We get into a dream sequence though. And guess what? Quill is back home, sees his mom die, but then it's reversed and he's now a grown man at home and he has a chance to save his mom. And it's a really weird scene here. I was kind of creeped out by it.
It's weird how the game is able to make it feel like surreal in terms of this is an actual like sequence in the story.
Yeah.
You would think that this would be a moment that Quill relived, but obviously his mother died when he was younger and now he's an adult. So we're kind of like seeing that flashback, but it's manufactured in a way. There's points where his mom, you know, so you have the option to actually go in and shoot the aliens that showed up to get Quill, which I feel like we still haven't understood why they show up for Quill yet.
Yeah,
but you know, you have the chance to actually save your mother now. And in doing that, saving her, you have this weird conversation where Peter's acknowledging that this could not be happening. Mm-hmm. But then his mom does make it very convincing, like it's okay. Like she's not, it's not like, you know, sometimes when you have these moments in like movies or games, the person that's like maybe doing the deceiving in the flashback doesn't acknowledge that things have changed. She's acknowledging that, yes, he's an adult. He's a leader of this group of misfits. She's acknowledging all of that. And she's just like, now things could be different. So I'm like, wait, this is like a potential reality. Like me as the gamer is buying into this, into where will this game go next? Like, I don't think this is like a false vision. Like it's potentially something that you could play out to make a reality. So it was really interesting, but she has a hard grasp on a Quill emotionally and physically.
This is the point where I'm not sure if we went through the same experience. So I couldn't get off her grip. So she's like hugging you so tight that you end up like going into like a giant white screen, and then you go back and not back in time, but now you're at a car, and then you're like you're doing daily tasks.
Yes.
And then this black screen starts enveloping you slowly.
Yeah, like shards, like black shards come out of the screen. It's kind of like you know, when you get hit. Instead of seeing that red flash around the screen, it's like dark shards, black shards coming out and like enclosing the screen in your vision of what's happening on screen. But yeah, Drax is there.
Groot,
the whole crew, Gamora, everyone's there, and they're getting ready for dinner, it seems like.
Yeah.
But you have a moment to actually go around. Like, I pet the dog again.
Me too. Yeah.
But did you go explore a bit, or were you just trying to kind of trigger some sort of dialogue with these characters, or like trigger the next scene?
I had no idea what was going on. Like, I didn't know. I was kind of creeped out. Like, you see, like, first your mom's hugging you and she's doing a creepy hug that she's giving you like a, it looks like the Exorcist stare or something like that. Then you're in this vision, and then the shards are enveloping your screen, which I think is a really cool concept.
I'm just
trying to like see if there's anything around. I'm trying to talk to everybody, seeing what the hell is going on. And then once it goes completely dark and black, like the credits come up.
Yeah.
I was so confused.
I was so confused as well. I was like, wait, I died? Like, and the fact that it makes it so long, like a long sequence of events before it gets to like that twist that this is the end of the game for you. Like you died at this point, right? I thought this was a really cool way to do this. So I was really happy with how they did this here.
So again, off the top, like when I saw the credits, I'm like, is that the end of the game? I'm confused. No, it can't be. But you get a little cue to rethink your promise.
Yes.
So Quill can actually go back to the first scene where he saves his mom. And the hug and all of that. And this is the point, like, I think in this scene, we forgot to mention, like, he mentions how this is something he's always wanted. Mm-hmm. So in his heart, I think he's been holding this entire time, like, I wish I could have saved my mom. He probably feels guilty that he couldn't, and it's probably haunted him his entire life. So this is the point now he feels like, okay, I can finally save her. But when you rethink the promise, I think Quill is starting to realize that this is a false reality and it's not real. And he needs to remember that he needs to accept that his mom is dead. Rather, I don't know if he has already internally and personally before this, but I'm guessing right as of now, he has been holding this in and he has not accepted his mom's death. And this gives him a chance to do it. And he kills his mom. which I think is really morbid.
Yeah, I was having trouble with it because it's not like one shot, she's dead. You have to shoot her a couple times. It is an emotional moment because even when you see Quill hold out his blasters, like his hands shaking. And like at this point, because you're seeing a part of Quill open up that you really haven't seen too much of before, it is a little bit emotional as the player, like having to shoot his mom, hear her react to that, and then have to do it again. And then again, to finally move on from the scene.
But that's just, I don't know. It's just a messed up thing. Thinking about if we have to do that in order to like accept someone's death is really rough. Ooh. But like you said, we move on and it's another dream. And this time it looks like we're in Nikki's reality. And we are on the Hallow's Hope. We're on a ship. It looks like it's Corell's birthday. And Quill is a part of the family. It looks like now he is Nikki's dad, and they're trying to set up for Corell's birthday. But Quill does know what's going on. He is aware. Nikki, however, isn't. She asks you to answer the door to open it and let Corell in.
Surprise!
Peter? What are you two? No! No! Don't believe it, Peter. This isn't real. She's being tricked. She never should have been here. What she saw. I don't know how, but the three of us are connected now. That thing has her, but she can still be saved. Accept my death. She must. Show her how to let me go. Free my daughter. Save her. Please!
So again, another heavy moment. But we find out basically what's going on. Corell is a ghost and is able to tell you the truth. She's dead, obviously, from the monster. Nikki is tied to the Soul Stone, and mm-hmm. she needs Quill to help Nikki accept her death, which I guess will maybe free her from everything. What did you take away from this cutscene?
Yeah, it was so weird because you said you took it as it was Nikki's like promise, right?
Yeah.
See, that makes sense because I was just like, oh, is this another like thing that maybe Quill wants after finding out about Nikki that he doesn't have? So I thought it was just like another one of his promises. But I guess that would explain why he was able to get out of it with the help of Corell. I don't know. This is a very confusing sequence of events. Yeah. But for me, you know, it's kind of like what I thought when I saw the reveal of Nikki as the matriarch, that there's something holding her to this idea. Because when you meet Nikki, like, she's a very smart girl. So it's interesting that, like, the loss of her mother could make her, well, it breaks her, right? Which is a very... very, very like human story, right?
Yeah. We head back to reality though, and Raker takes her away. We have to fight him, but it's not a really boss fight. He leaves pretty quickly, and that means he leaves us to a bunch of minions, which we have to fight for a very long time until we fall down some ship vents. And here I got to mention to you that we unlock the Bad Lord outfit. I don't know if you unlocked it or if you saw it at all.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get your take on it because, again, you very much hate everything to do with Peter Quill and his mom's haircuts. So what did you think of his outfit? So bad.
I just went back to the basic Star-Lord outfit. I cannot do it. Did you like this one?
I thought it was hilarious, and I used it for a few cutscenes, and especially when, like, Quill is emotional and, like, it's a serious conversation he has a mullet and he looks like he's 2 feet tall because it looks like he's still the size of his 13-year-old self. But his man face, it's really bizarre.
It's so weird.
I did switch back after a while because I couldn't handle it either.
How'd you find this fight?
With Raker or with...
Raker, the goons, because I actually died a few times here.
You did?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it was the, I don't know what they're, if they're priests, but the floating guys that were.
Yeah, those guys are hard.
Yeah, they were reviving. I don't know why it took me so long to realize I have to go after them first, but it's like right. The one specific one you have to go after first. It's not like both of them you could hit. The one that's not glowing is the one that you have to hit, and it's pretty basic. Like, I should have noticed it, but it led me to Star-Lord's death quite a few times this battle.
My strategy with this is with those mobs, I normally get all my team to do their special attacks on them. As best as I can, because it's hard to sometimes like target them because there's so many mobs. But I do the best I can there, and then I use Quill's special ability as well. I don't think I died in this part, but there are numerous times I died anyway, so don't feel so bad. We get into an interesting conversation though as we're going through the vents of this ship. Maybe one of our members isn't buying into what everyone's selling.
Why are we pretending we did not witness what we witnessed in the ceremonial chamber?
Because the promise is an insidious lie.
How can you be certain?
Because I wanted to believe it, but I knew when I woke up it...
We'll all be gone.
What did you see?
I am Groot.
I saw my mom. Life. There's something else there too.
A shadow.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is, it's using the girl. Probably fed her alive or own. Valkyra.
I know, she's...
Fucking Skyfall!
So everyone saw their own vision of one of their promises in the butthole room with Nikki. Drax mentions, how can we be so certain that the promise is an insidious lie? So again, I think we're dealing with, everyone has gone through some sort, like every one of the Guardians has a messed up past, whether it's Gamora and Thanos and all the manipulation and his death and all that. Drax's family has died. Groot's the last of his kind. Rocket has been experimented on forever. Quill lost his mom. Like, there's so much here that it would make sense that if someone saw their promise, and an example here is Drax here, he sees it and then he starts to think maybe it's real. So maybe with how the church is expanding so fast, you kind of understand why, because people have lost somebody or have gone through something in their lives and are questioning it, and then the promise shows them what they want. Mm-hmm. And Drax is having a hard time to shake that off, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's funny because the brute of the Guardians is just a little soft marshmallow inside that's like, you know, having these understandable dilemmas in terms of, you know, wanting what was and looking to the future. But my thing was, so was Gamora saying, like, did Gamora see Korel too? Or was she just saying, like, Korel's probably dead based on how Nikki is?
That's how I interpreted it. Okay. But yeah, because I don't think Gamora knows. But
yeah, I think it was only Quill that saw, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm kind of curious, like, what do you think, like, because I think I'm starting to understand Groot. Because without Groot, like with Groot saying, I am Groot, I knew what Groot meant when he said that. I'm like, oh, he saw other Groots. But yeah, like this is a real moment. And we're seeing that conflict again that's coming up with the Guardians. But now it's on a much deeper level. And I think it's just complex writing rather than writing all of the, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy as one character, all agreeing and all aligning. I just love how the game is really bringing out their personalities and their different past lives into this complicated story. It's not so black and white in terms of what the Guardians should do.
Another thing here is Drax, I feel like, is now feeling that there's a potential for his family to be resurrected. Nikki believes that Korel can be resurrected. Raker thinks that his son can be resurrected. So whatever is going on here with the matriarch or this power or the soul stone, everyone believes that they're loved ones can be resurrected. So that's the main common theme that we're seeing here with these bad guys, I guess, in terms of they just think that they can bring someone back from the dead. And that's like obviously like the biggest type of manipulation possible.
Exactly. But then that has me thinking, because it's all seems like through loss, it's like kind of preying on people's emotions if they've gone through a great loss. Yeah. If they, through like all this like sucking of soul energy, do you think that this may be bringing back someone?
Ooh.
Just not who they want.
Ah, it's bringing back someone from the dead, which my guess this whole time has been Adam Warlock. And he's like the main bad guy of the game. That's my guess. We've talked about him from time to time. But yeah, we've heard about this life energy. Now we know what the gold dust is, by the way.
Gold dust.
And it's life energy. It's faith energy. People believing in this lie, which is huge. And now it's spreading everywhere. That leads us into a giant stadium of people chanting and singing, giving their faith energy to the matriarch. We have to fight a lot more enemies on the way. Nikki is in the middle of it all. These people are chanting and singing like a Sephiroth song, it sounds like. Gamora decides to go on her own mission because, when we even talked about this a little bit, but Gamora, I think, is really affected by Nikki and the situation she's going through, because it's similar to what she went through with Thanos. And she's having a tough time with this.
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised with Gamora's reaction. Like, even though, like, she may understand the dangers Nikki's in and, you know, the mirroring of, like, her experience with Nikki, I'm really shocked at how much she's willing to go through to make sure it doesn't happen again. Just because she's still hiding a lot from her team in terms of what her past looks like. Right? Like, she doesn't discuss, like, there's something that happened. You know, if you gave her the doll, you'll realize that, like, there was something else there that she doesn't want to disclose. And she kind of like, the conversation moves on, right? So there maybe there was a loss for her when she was a kid, and she's trying to avoid Nikki from doing something she'd regret, like she might have done.
Yeah, there's definitely parallels there. Rocket needs some time to blow up some batteries as we escape. Gamora decides to leave. We're not really sure where she is, but Quill ends up in space, and they all do, before the Milano rescues them. I wanted your take on, if you end up in deep space, don't you have like 3 seconds until you completely freeze to death and die?
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to go. But I think wasn't this also in a Guardians movie where they ended up in space and they started to freeze?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because I feel like a lot of the imagery too, although the story is very different than anything that we've seen in the MCU, they are pulling imagery from what we're familiar with in the MCU. And this was one of those moments for me. So I kind of just attributed this to who Peter Quill is, and maybe like, who his dad is. Maybe there's some extra energy that kind of blankets over him and his crew. That's why they don't die right away.
You think Quill's dad will show up in this game? Is that your theory?
I don't know if he'll show up, but there's lots of mysteries around him and who he is. And obviously there's certain powers that he had because the blasters only react to him and Peter, right? So I'm saying there's a lot of unknown abilities that Peter may have, and maybe it's just like he puts a little nice blanket over his friends when they're floating in space so then they could get picked up by the Milano.
Of course, we're rescued, but we don't know where Gamora is or what to even do.
Gamora! Is that...
Yes.
How'd you get back?
It doesn't matter. I failed. Raker lives.
For now.
We have to go back. We can't leave Nikki there. What he'll turn her into.
Blah, blah, flarkin' blah. So you got stepdaddy issues and had a horrible childhood.
Ooh, Rocket!
What? It's true. Guess what? You ain't the only one here who had it bad. It don't mean we're angling to commit suicide because some pseudo-priest nutjob is doing, surprise, nutjob stuff. If we go back there, we're dead. D-E-D! Dead!
I am Groot.
I'd rather die with honor than without.
So, Cam, who do you agree with in this conversation? Gamora or Rocket?
I agree with Gamora because I think it's just like the nice thing to do. Firstly, and it's the Peter thing to do as well. If Peter's daughter is kind of in a tough situation, you're not just going to close the door on helping her. So I had to. Did you side with Gamora or were you more with Rocket?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Screw Rocket. He's a jackass in this entire game. Again, he's not wrong in terms of, I understand that he always wants to save his own skin and the people that he loves because he's witnessed so much destruction throughout his life. But Gamora, again, like, she is realizing she doesn't want the same things to happen as it happened to her. So that's the better intentions. Those are the more pure intentions. And obviously, me and you, we're both, we like to claim that we're good people when we play these games. And I think that 100% would mean that we side with Gamora on this because we can't just leave this girl to dead. She's 12 years old. She's confused and she's being manipulated.
Yeah. And you saw like the hangar of like what seemed like a solar system of people on that ship. So it's like, it's not like this is a small problem where you could run away from. You kind of have to go like all in with it.
That leads us to chapter 9, which is a pretty short one. We get back into the cockpit. We talk to Cosmo, who tells us to go to Xandar to talk to the Nova Corps world mine, who's like the leader giant thing. But as we're about to go there, we get an incoming comms from Captain Glory, leader of the Lethal Legion. And he is basically a bounty hunter sent by Lady Hellbender in order to get them, because again, Lady Hellbender is still pissed. We already saw the Blood Brothers earlier in the game, and we have to do a ship battle. I thought this was super random and out of place. Did you like
what?
It?
Really?
Did you feel weird about it, or you loved it?
I loved it. I love ship battles. I love just maneuvering the Milano. So I liked it. Of course, the controls are a bit weird because you're right. Stick, like for myself, I'm playing on Xbox, so my right stick does like the flips and the, you know, the 180s and stuff like that, and you have maneuver with your left stick in order to like make more smaller movements. And as you go through this battle, every time you hit Captain Glory, he like kind of puts out these mines, so it's more areas that you have to avoid. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I think it keeps up with that trend that we're seeing in this game where when you think it's over, it's not over. There's always like just something else.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Give you that time to breathe. So that's what I enjoyed with this a lot.
Did you have trouble? Because I know I hid the illegal Rocket's illegal stuff in the beginning of the game, which helps with a weapon upgrade. So I get missiles. Did you
have that? Oh, I didn't get missiles. No.
So this mission took me relatively quick because I just spammed my homing missiles.
Yeah, no, for me, it wasn't like quick. It wasn't like a long battle. I thought it was quick, but no homing missiles, which would make it, because like the ships that you're hitting in the Leaf Legion, such a funny name, they get shot down really easily. It's more when you're going after Captain Glory, you have to like hit these little targets on his ship. That takes a little bit of time, but it's definitely not a difficult fight, even if you don't have those missiles.
Well, once we shake them off, we end up in Xandar, and we finally get to talk to the World Mine.
To pay a fine?
No, of course not. You need to save the
galaxy. Cannot be saved, Peter Quill.
What?
A mass delusion known as the Promise.
It's sweeping its systems, converting all who encounter it.
In less than 3 cycles,
it has spread from the crew of a single star frigate
to multiple outposts,
worlds and systems.
Praxis 9, Rigel 3.
75.222%
of the Andromeda Galaxy.
All lost.
Of course, she don't mention Contraxia.
They, actually. The World Mind is a collective consciousness.
Look, we know who's behind the promise. We've seen it happening up close and personal. We're here to pass on information to you so you can stop it.
How can we be more clear?
The Universal Church of Truth
cannot be stopped.
Told you, they're collected.
It is a machine.
Yeah, well, so are parts of me. And you better not call me in it.
I'm Groot.
At least Abomination sounds scary.
Look, we just escaped the Church's mothership. We have a ton of intel you can use to bring them down.
There is nothing you can tell us we do not already know.
Pretty sure I know a few things that even a supercomputer can't know.
We did not
make this decision without considering
all available options.
A complete search of our databanks only revealed
a single entity with the potential to stop
them.
What is it?
Not what. Who?
Adam Warlock, the Church's original golden god.
Unfortunately, he perished
in the last year of the Galactic War.
Great. So no one?
We are
pleased you reached the same conclusion
we did.
It appears that our travel preparations
are almost complete. Farewell, Guardians
of the Galaxy.
No, wait!
Classic Nova Corps. Ain't helped us then, you won't help us now.
So the galaxy cannot be saved. There's a lot. It feels like, I don't know if you ever watched Matrix Revolutions or Resurrections.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what.
Reloaded.
Reloaded. That's the one. Yeah. It was Reloaded was the one where he talks to the,
The Keymaster and the
Architect. Architect. Thank you. That's what it felt like in terms of like all this dialogue and talking about existential things and what's going on with the galaxy. But if you are World Mind in this situation, obviously you have kind of logically put yourself into a situation where you think there's no choice, but then the Guardians can come and tell you otherwise and you start to believe them a little bit. That's where I ended up. I put it into perspective for them. So I managed to get them to have a seed of doubt in their plans. I don't know what you managed to do.
I did as well. I was able to convince them to have a seed of doubt in their plans as well. But I don't think you have to like select all of the options. So like the first thing they say, you could reject the conclusion or share intel. You could question the strategy or appeal to duty, call out cowardice or put in perspective. So for me, I actually rejected the conclusion and asked them like where they're going to, instead of sharing the intel. And then I questioned their strategy after that. And then I put in perspective. So I think I selected the wrong one for the first choice, but the next two were the right choice. And then the little icon showed up that I did plant that seed of doubt.
So they mention Adam Warlock, and I'm now confused because apparently Adam Warlock is dead. Well, we knew he was dead, but
yeah.
They say the only one that can stop this is Adam Warlock. And I've been under the assumption, I just told you 10 minutes ago, that I think Adam Warlock is the bad guy they're trying to resurrect. So now I'm not really sure what the hell this means.
Yeah, maybe the person that could stop it is the person that's behind it.
Huh.
I don't know. I just went all, you know, philosophical.
Meta there, yeah.
Yeah, very meta. But for me, it shows that Adam Warlock is going to play a bigger role, but if he's dead, then maybe it's like we don't actually see Adam Warlock. It's more like we have to go to where, I don't know, harness some sort of power he had. That's kind of how I took this moment.
Ooh, that makes sense. Yeah. Like if he is dead, then we can harness some sort of power that comes from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's really confusing. I'm mad at Nova Corps because I think if you are an intergalactic police force, and you're deciding to dip? Screw you. Get out of here. What are you even good for?
Well, I mean, but at the same time, they did say Xandar is their only like focus to protect, right? So like, I don't blame them, but I blame them. But I feel bad because there's also all these refugees that,
yes,
you know, when you go into this interaction, you show up and there's all these ships there asking for a refuge from the church, right? So it's like, what's going to happen to all of those people? Plus, you do have a quick moment because I want to touch on this. Did you actually go through, because you call into the world mind to kind of open up a connection, but they're not responding to everyone. How did you get them to respond to you? What option did you go through? I'm wondering if it's the same.
I don't even remember because I spent 10 minutes trying to do it and I had no idea how to talk to them. And then I was just, I was like smashing buttons and then it triggered the cutscene. Do you know what you picked? Because I have no idea.
So yeah, I went through the whole, you have like the directory of everybody. And then you could actually go on Coral's and they confirm she's deceased. So she cannot be contacted. Then they confirm for Nikki, you can't talk to her because there's an ongoing investigation. You find out as well that, remember that guy that we, I forgot his name, that we might have killed when we were on.
Jack Flag.
Yeah. So you could actually try to connect with him. And then it says like he is, he cannot be found, but he is determined to be deceased. And then Rocket's so like, hey, that's the guy that we killed, right? And then Gamora's like, we are not admitting that we killed someone while these comms are open. So like you have like some funny moments when you go through there, but I chose to pay the fine. And that's what triggered this moment. And then when, you know, the world mind goes away, that prompt to pay the fine is still on the screen. And then I just chose not to pay the fine because I'm like, why am I paying the fine if the world's coming to an end, right?
I thought the exact same thing. I was going to pay the fine, but then I'm like, it makes no sense. They're leaving. I was like, bun you, I'm out of here. So I didn't pay the fine either. Quill's really pissed, though, at this point. He's pretty dejected. He ends up going to sleep. And that's where we enter another little dream where his 13-year-old self keeps telling him to stop running away from his problems. So in order to do that, you enter another dream where Nikki's there. And there is a giant monster that's sucking his team up. And the only way to stop what's going on is to accept his fate and accept, I guess, dying in that situation in the dream. But he needs to stop running from his problems. That's what his 13-year-old self keeps talking about, which I think we'll talk more about in the next segment because he's awoken by someone at the end of this chapter. But we can't say who because that's the end of chapter 9. After the break, we talk acceptance on autosave.
We have to face our fears. Take responsibility.
No! This is all wrong! Guys, I'm sorry!
Yes, you do! You do!
Leave me alone! Why are you chasing me?
We can't keep running away from our problems. What are you doing? Heroes don't run.
None of this makes any sense! It's my fault, isn't it? All of it!
You're supposed to be a hero. What are you doing? Heroes don't...
Take that, you ugly monster thing!
Ooh. What's going on there? It's a little kooky crazy, but welcome back. The theme again, Kim, was acceptance, and you hear that a lot in this episode. Quill is running away from his problems. His 13-year-old self, like I said right before the break, is telling him to stop running away from his problems. He needs to deal with things head on. We see that through this episode where Peter has to accept his mom's death right in front of him. He has a chance to go back and pretend like everything is fine again, but he chooses to accept her death and ends up killing her again, metaphorically, even though it seems pretty real. But this is kind of his journey through these chapters, was just trying to accept what's going on. And he wants to run away like he normally always does. And I think we see this in movie Peter Quill as well. He likes to run away from his problems. But at the end of the day, he needs to, especially if he wants to be a good guy, and we see that a lot in this game, he's trying to be a better person. He needs to grow up, in a sense.
And it reminds me of what Rocket's going through. Rocket seems like he's always trying to run away from the problems. And it's like, although this is here to help Peter realize what he has to do, I think this is also for us to realize why this team is always separated. Because we have members of the teams that are always trying to run and hide and not face what's in front of them. But yeah, it's an interesting moment. My thing is, I like how these like shards show up again. Like these black shards in this sequence kind of shows up again. And like, I feel like it's going to play deeper into what's behind all of this.
We saw the monster in the beginning. We thought, okay, maybe it's going to be something later. But it looks like it's a main part of this, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the problem, again, with not accepting your reality is Nikki is having that problem. She can't accept that her mom's dead. It's creating more problems. And now she needs some sort of guidance, like I think Quill had in a sense with his team members. I think because he is the leader of the Guardians, that he puts more responsibility on himself. And growing with these people now, he has realized how much of a true leader he has to be. And in order to do that, you have to make those tough decisions.
Yeah, he's stepping into the role of a true Star-Lord.
So I have to mention, I wanted to mention this before, and I'll probably mention this throughout the game as we play it, but this game particularly does such a great job at encompassing what the Guardians are about. In terms of like the Raker scene in Chapter 8, where they're trying to distract him. Peter tries to pretend to have a heart attack. They're making jokes, like stuff like that. Like, to me, it feels like the essence of the Guardians, they encapsulate it so perfectly. It's a joke, but it's not, but it's just so well done.
Yeah, they really do. Like, you go, and even with Legion showing up, like, that is such, and they're able to, like, laugh in the middle of this realization that, oh my gosh, the world may, like, the whole universe may be ending because of this church, but they're still able to break the tension with a little bit of comedy. And I think that's why it keeps it a bit more interesting, but not to the point where it's taking away from the story and the emotional moments of what's happening with these characters.
Lastly, I'm disappointed in the potential boss fight with Raker.
Really?
Because, again, we've only had one real boss fight in this game, which was Chapter 4. And I feel like most of this game is just fighting enemies. And there's no true bosses. And I thought, okay, here we go. Raker one-on-one, let's do this. And he dips. And we just have to fight more mobs. And it's not that I'm sick of it. I enjoy the gameplay, but I'm hoping that there's more boss fights in the future, because I think that was a prime moment that could have had one, and then they didn't deliver.
I'm not really disappointed not having the boss fights or boss fights throughout the game because the story is so strong for me. But I guess there could be a little bit of disappointment at the fact that Gamora was able to chop off the arm of Raker. And we didn't see that happen. No, we didn't take part in that when Raker was right there a few scenes before where we could have had that fight. Maybe that's how she got a piece of his arm and then we kind of go along. So yeah, it's weird. Actually, I'm going to also bring it up. I thought at the point where Gamora shows up with Raker's arm, I was fully expecting her to be like, and I'm possessed by the church as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it just seemed out of place for me that... Yes, she went away just to grab his arm. And she's not talking about what else happened.
I thought the arm was just like a trophy. It's like, I did it. I killed him. I thought that's what she was going to say.
Well, no, she... Well, yeah, that too, right? But like, she didn't end up killing him. So it's just like weird that that moment happened without us witnessing it.
That makes a good point. Like, I feel like they could have done something with that, right? Like, maybe we have a boss fight with Raker and Gamora chops off his arm, that's the end of that, and he escapes. That to me seems like more of a story bump, right? Like that seems like more of an idealistic way to do it.
It's weird. I don't know if it has to do with the choice, because when Gamora goes after Raker, you have an option to trust her or like doubt her decision to go after him. And then it triggers, like, Gamora will remember that, like, when she shows up with Raker's arm, it says Gamora will remember that you trusted her with, like, the decision to go after Raker. So I don't know if that will play a hand, no pun intended, in, like, later chapters, and maybe that's why they did it. So I don't know.
Interesting. Anything else before we go? Do you have any other ponderings that you want to mention?
Bad name. Leith Legion. That could also be misheard as Leech Legion. You could have just went with Lethal Legion. That would have been better bad names here. Bad names.
Captain Glory is probably one of the worst names. It's probably up there with like Gold Dust and Sailor Space, I would say.
In terms of bad names.
Yeah. Okay. I'm putting you with me, okay? I'm not leaving you out to dry.
Fine. All right? Fine. Actually, I want our listeners to tell us, would you rather be Gold Dust, disassociated from the wrestler, yeah, okay, or Sailor Space? Let us know.
When I hear it out loud, I think they're both horrible.
They're really bad.
But yes, please let us know. Just drop a line on our socials. Also, Autosave Pod on Twitter as well. And we want to shout out our Patreon member, James Sokolowski. Thank you so much for your support. Really appreciate it. And everyone else who is a part of the Patreon team, we really appreciate all your support. Again, you can join us, patreon.com/autosavepod. We do some cool stuff there. And you can also join our Discord and talk some video games with us, because I know I like to talk about Pokemon a lot and other things that make me old. Which is a lot of things. But anyway, next time on Autosave, we might have to maybe help someone remember who they are.